The world is going to have an excuse for why millions of people disappeared in the rapture, which we're getting very close to looking at the signs of the times. We're in that season, obviously. And fortunately, the forces of darkness have already shown their hand. They have already come up with an excuse. And so according to New Agers, people who channel demons and necromancers and mediums that channel demons and fallen angels, the forces of darkness have already come up with a deceptive lie to explain away the rapture. And that lie, believe it or not, goes in concert with the green agenda. Yeah, the green agenda that's currently being fostered by the ungodly globalists, the leftists, the UN, nations around the world, the politicians, the World Economic Forum, big corporations, big tech are all on board on this, colleges and universities and schools, the entertainment industry, and the media, obviously. And the idea behind the green movement is save the planet. We have to have a green agenda to stop carbon emissions. We got to save Mother Earth. But there's more to it. There's a religious aspect to this green agenda. And behind it is a green dragon. And so the save the planet, will, believe it or not, has a narrative, a false narrative, a counterfeit narrative to explain away the rapture. And we're going to discuss that today, okay? According to Chuck Missler and Mark Eastman, who wrote a book years ago called Alien Encounters, they did the research on this, and they give quotes from people who are involved in the occult or who are fooled by the occult to think that aliens exist. And believe it or not, that these they channel these aliens. They don't call them, sometimes they call them aliens, sometimes they call them avatars or space brothers or, you know, they're just more advanced than us or something, you know, but whatever they are, they're really demons and fallen angels impersonating these things, right? And anyway, as these channelers are doing this, the fallen angels and demons are telling them about the rapture, believe it or not. They don't call it the rapture. They call it the great evacuation. That's what they call it, but they twist it and they twist it to say that the bad people are going to be ones taken by the aliens to save Mother Earth. Now, again, this is an old book, but I appreciate what Missler did in getting these quotes from these New Agers and obviously Eastman for doing this and doing the research. So all credit for the research goes to them. But I thought in our day and time here in 2022, and with all that's going on with the green agenda and how we are in the season of the rapture, we're seeing things get set up for the tribulation period. We're seeing a digital currency get implemented. We're seeing a new world order get implemented. That means we're closer to the rapture. So the interesting thing is the demons, fallen angels have a false narrative to explain it away. So when Missler and Eastman did the work in this book, they noted that by the mid-1960s, there were hundreds of alleged UFO contactees who claimed to have received detailed messages regarding the origin, destiny, and future of mankind, okay? And according to Missler and Eastman, these messages spoke of a time in not too distant future, right, when mankind would evolve to a higher consciousness with the assistance of aliens. Now, keep following me on this. I want you to see the narrative. Now, we don't believe in aliens. Really what that is fallen angels or demons impersonating so-called alien space brothers or whatever it might be. So it's demons and fallen angels, okay? And so this alien theme has been going on for some time. It's interesting that when we started seeing a lot of alien activity, again, demonic fallen angel activity, happened after 1948. Well, what happened at 1948? Israel was reborn. So apparently that signaled to the demonic realm and the fallen angel realm, Satan himself, that, hey, man, things are getting kicked into high gear. Israel's now back in the land as a nation, as predicted. And so Satan and his minions have been ramping things up. And so since 1948, alien encounters, seeing things in the sky, whatnot, impersonating these aliens, we've seen a lot of demonic and fallen angel activity. So it makes sense on that level, okay, if you understand 1948. Anyway, according to this narrative that the demons are giving through these channelers, Missler and Eastman noted that these aliens would help mankind, check this out, achieve peace and security, safety, nirvana, okay? Which, you know, that's what the Apostle Paul says, that we're, you know, when they say peace and safety or peace and security, then sudden destruction comes upon them. So in this peace and security era, they say that mankind will experience an era of peace and harmony and the brotherhood of man. We will enter the age of Aquarius, according to the demons, okay? So it's a false, counterfeit peace and security, which the Apostle Paul claimed that they would say, right? Okay, so these entities, these fallen angels and demons who, again, pretending to be aliens, proclaim, notice this, proclaim that pollution has produced changes in Mother Earth. And it's affecting Mother Earth because of our pollution. See, you notice how it's part of the green agenda, pollution, okay? And then it says, they say that Mother Earth is a living organism. Well, that's not true, but that's what they say. And that it has been polluted so bad that the time will come when she needs to cleanse herself of the pollution, as well as, note this, quote, dark forces who no longer fit in. I wonder who these dark forces are. Oh, take a guess. It's you and I, okay? That's who the dark forces are. Again, this is the demonic narrative, okay? So Mother Earth has got to cleanse herself from the pollution and get rid of these people called dark forces. So anyway, they note that numerous New Age channelers say that the dark forces are a group of individuals whose thought patterns are of the past. They hang on to that book called the Bible, and they keep Earth and its forces of light. Oh, so the forces of evil are called the forces of light. What is Satan called by the Apostle Paul? He appears as an angel of light. So these forces of light that we, you and I, who hold on to the past, the Bible, keep these forces of light and earth from evolving into a higher state of consciousness known as the fifth dimension. They say that Mother Earth is in her fourth dimension, and she wants to go to the fifth dimension, and so do these forces of light. So we're the ones holding them back. You see the narrative? You see what they're saying? Okay. So as Missler and Eastman noted, according to hundreds of contactees, Earth changes are part of a cleansing that's going to be catastrophic. But the aliens are going to come in to rescue and intervene Mother Earth from destroying all humanity. Because Mother Earth doesn't care. She just wants all the pollution and all these people off her planet. So the aliens, the fallen angels and demons, are the good guys in the story, and they're going to come in and intervene. And what are they going to do? They have a plan to salvage our planet and prevent Mother Earth from destroying the majority of life as she cleanses herself, right? So the plan is, according to fallen angels and demons impersonating aliens, the plan is to evacuate the millions of people who are, quote unquote, out of vibration, okay? Again, a New Age term, but it's you and I, we're out of vibration, okay? That's what they're saying. We're the children of darkness or whatever. And because of us, we are preventing all this from happening, Mother Earth from going to our next evolutionary stage. And so we are out of vibration. And we're out of vibration with Mother Earth. And so like a surgeon, these aliens have to carefully take out that cancer, you and me, making sure not to damage the surrounding tissue, the other people who are on the same plane with Mother Earth. And these aliens, these extraterrestrials, are going to beam us up. Yes, beam us up is what the words they use. Or the other word they use, levitate these individuals into hundreds, now get this, of cloaked alien ships. Yeah, that's what they say. And they say that these alien ships are currently surrounding Mother Earth right now. You just don't see them. They're cloaked right now. We just can't see them. And so they say that when the global situation reaches a crisis point on Mother Earth, the aliens are going to evacuate these people like you and I, the ones holding everything back, the forces of darkness, that's you and me. Get this. They're going to evacuate us in, quote, a twinkling of an eye, end quote. I wonder where they got that language from. You think they borrowed it from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15? And then they go on to say in the narrative, they're going to be transferred then to larger ships for, guess what, re-education and initiation into higher levels of consciousness. So see, we're just too stupid. The aliens got to take us off to prevent Mother Earth from killing everybody. And so we need to be re-educated and initiated into the higher levels of consciousness. And that's why we're taken. You see the lie? You see the false narrative that the demons are saying? Okay, so check this out. One of the quotes from these guys, this is a message from one of these demons called Ashtar. He's pretending to be an alien, and he's called Ashtar Command, okay? A quote, it says this, the demon, our rescue ships will be able to come in close enough in the twinkling of an eye, there's the word again, to set the lifting beams in operation in a moment. That's another word, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. They're borrowing off of the Apostle Paul. And all over the globe, where events warrant it, all over the globe, no, the rapture is global because it takes all Christians, right? This will be the method of evacuation. These beams will take us out, right? Like Star Trek, right? Mankind will be lifted, levitated, shall we say, by the beams from our smaller ships. These smaller craft will in turn taxi the persons to larger ships overhead, higher in the atmosphere, where there is ample space and quarters and supplies for millions of people. Did you catch that? That is absolutely amazing. They have a counter narrative for the rapture. It means that the demons and fallen angels know about the rapture. Anyway, Missler and Eastman continue to note in this chapter of the book, this narrative started in 1952. Notice in 1952, that's just a few years after 1948. When a demon pretending to be an alien by the name of Ashtar spoke through author George Van Tassel. According to Van Tassel, Ashtar, again, this is a demon, is one of the Council of Seven of Lights, pledged to save mankind from himself. So this is how the narrative goes, that these aliens are going to save mankind from themselves, okay? And, quote, this is what Ashtar, the demon, said. We are concerned about their deliberate determination to extinguish humanity and turn this planet into cinder. That's talking about you and I. That's okay? We're the problem. Our missions are peaceful, it says, but this condition occurred before in this solar system, and planet Lucifer was turned to bits. We are determined that it shall not happen again. So they're going to rescue the rest of humanity to make sure that Mother Earth doesn't get destroyed again. And so they're going to rescue humanity and rescue Mother Earth. Now, here's an interesting thing. Notice what they said, that this occurred before in our solar system and the planet Lucifer was torn to bits. Now, okay, demons and fallen angels pretending to be aliens note that there was a planet, and the planet name was Lucifer, and it was destroyed in this solar system as well. And they're going to prevent this Earth from doing the same thing. Now, this is very interesting. Okay, close attention to what I'm about to show you. One of the theories, and when you look at Genesis, and you look at the fall of Lucifer, and you can see the fall of Lucifer, obviously, in Ezekiel 28, 13 through 16, and you look at Genesis verse 1 and verse 2. There is a theory, and it's well substantiated. I think Dr. Fruchtenbaum believes in this, that there was an original earth before the earth that we are on. Now, that original earth, again, follow the theory, okay? It's a theory, so you don't have to be dogmatic about it, but it is very interesting what they're saying about this planet Lucifer. In this theory, it's notable that you have the statement in Genesis 1 that God created the heavens and the earth, okay? But then in verse 2, it says that the earth was without form, and it was void, and there was a watery, salty mass that covered the planet, and darkness covered the planet. Now, what that has led many people to surmise is that there's something going on between Genesis 1, verse 1, and verse 2. Now, you have the evolutionists that tried to put in a gap theory in that, and obviously that's not right. There's no such thing as theistic evolution. There's no, you know, dinosaur time that needs to happen. So that's wrong. But there is a theological construct that believes that, according to Ezekiel, when you read Ezekiel, that the original earth was a gem earth. That the coverings is not a covering for Satan, but the coverings of the original earth. And that Satan walked on the fiery stones, if you read Ezekiel 28, and that he walked on the fiery stones. And therefore, when he rebelled, the original earth, a gem earth, was destroyed because the original gem earth was under his authority. And so then the earth that we are on was recreated, Genesis 1, 2, and the following of Genesis from this original earth that was been recreated again out of the tohu and bohu, out of the darkness and out of the deep. All of those are symbols of judgment. So water, when you see water and you see darkness and you see tohu and bohu in the Hebrew, it's all, when the tohu and bohu are connected in conjunction with each other, it always symbolizes judgment. So by Genesis 1-2, we see that the world is being created out of a judgment. So out of a chaotic situation comes a new order. And so that has led many theologians to surmise that perhaps when you look at Ezekiel 28, there was an original gem earth that Satan had authority over. And when he fell, that earth was destroyed. Now, the interesting thing about when you look at Revelation 21 and 22, the New Jerusalem, where are we back at? We're not back at a earthly garden. We're back at a mineral garden. The New Jerusalem is a mineral garden. And so it kind of bookends the whole Bible. Again, you don't have to be dogmatic about it, but it is one theory out there, and I think it's a pretty good theory. Like I said, notable scholars like Dr. Fruchtenbaum believe in that. But this is funny. So that theory, and look what the demons are saying about there was another planet in our solar system that was destroyed called planet Lucifer. Now, according to the theological theory between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, that original planet was under the authority of Lucifer and then was destroyed. And then our earth was created out of that primordial destruction and judgment. Interesting. Again, you don't have to be dogmatic, but it is interesting that they say there was another planet that was destroyed. Interesting. Anyway, let's move on. So Missler and Eastman bring us up to the 1980s in this chapter, and they say Ashtar, this demon or demon pretending to be an alien, clarified the message to Earth through a new channeler named Thelma Terrell, who was widely known in the New Age circle by her spiritual name, Tuella. Okay? So this is all in the New Age stuff. So in her book, Project World Evacuation, she compiled the channeled messages of Ashtar, who declared the planet Earth would be spared certain annihilation by an extraterrestrial evacuation of millions of people who threatened the harmony and evolution of the Earth. Again, same theme, still going on, same narrative, right? But through a different channeler. So in her book, she describes herself as a messenger of light. Where did that term come from? Again, borrowing from the Apostle Paul that Satan is an angel of light. So she had a messenger of light come to her, and she wrote a book for her disciples, and it was called Higher Revelation. Okay? And so in that book, the connection to Earth's changes and the coming extraterrestrial evacuation is repeatedly pointed out in this book called Project World Evacuation. So she carries on the same theme. And so here's one of the quotes from the book that comes from these aliens, okay, these extraterrestrials. "We watch diligently the threat of a polar shift for the planet in your generation. Such a development would create a planetary situation through which none could survive. This would necessitate an evacuation such as I have referred to," end of quote. Here's another quote. "Earth changes will be the primary factor in mass evacuation of this planet," end of quote. So again, mass evacuation. So this theme that Missler and Eastman point out is repeated in the spring of 1994 issue of Connecting Link magazine, which is a quarterly New Age periodical. And so the author of this, Kay Wheeler, known by her spiritual name, Osmana, described herself as a Palladian starseed. Now again, I'm not going to go into that. Palladian starseed? Okay, whatever, man. But anyway, she's a channeler. Okay? So in her article, she presents the channeled messages from the Souls of Light, which are a group of extraterrestrials from the seventh celestial plane of life. Okay, whatever. But these are demons and fallen angels who they're channeling, okay? Who are working together to bring, quote-unquote, the light of God to planet Earth. So in this article, she connects current Earth changes to the removal of, quote-unquote, many beings from the planet. So here's a quote from one of these spirit beings, quote, the mother, which is Mother Earth, is desperately fighting for her life. Many of her vortexes have been drained. Again, I don't know what that even means. Vortexes have been drained? Okay, whatever. She is in critical condition at this time and must turn her thoughts as if Mother Earth is a living being, right? That's ridiculous. It's creation. It's not living. God created it. Well, anyway, she must turn her thoughts to herself if she is to survive this, right? This is why you see the many crises in the world. Many of these you do not hear about on your screen of lies. Talking about the television, I guess. I don't know. Quote, "There is much happening on your planet at this time. The Mother Earth, is cleansing. Is all that she knows to do at this time to clear herself of the pollution that exists within her body. Oh, isn't it a tragedy? But you, as light bearers, can help your mother to cleanse in such a way that it does not destroy all life on the planet. How so? Tell us, Avatar. Much of this is necessary. Many of these beings have appointments to leave at this time." Talking about you and I, right? "Earth's population needs to be decreased to bring forth the necessary changes upon this planet to move into the fourth dimension." Quote, "Your Earth is a fourth dimensional being at this time. She has moved into this energy pattern, and those upon Earth who plan to stay must be of the same vibration." Whatever that means. Quote, "Many of these beings who are leaving this planet, that's you and I in the rapture, at this time have completed which they came to do. We've completed our mission, of course. It is time of the great rejoicing for them. Do not feel sad about their leaving. They're going home." That's true. We are going home. Not the home you think about, but we're going to the New Jerusalem. Amen. Many are waiting to be with them again. That's true. Our loved ones who believed in Christ are waiting for us in the New Jerusalem. Isn't that funny? Yes, that's right. Many beings must move on, for their thought patterns are of the past. Oh, because we have the mind of Christ, we hang on to the Bible, we have thought patterns of the past that we're holding everything back. Okay, whatever. They hold on to these thoughts that keep earth held back, end of quote. That's right. We believe the Bible, and you satanic creatures don't. Ah, so you see the narrative here building, right? So, Missler and Eastman continue to point out, 1995, Barbara Mersenniak echoed the theme of earth changes and the coming disappearance of millions of people in her book, Earth, the Palladian Keys to the Living Library. Okay, whatever that means. But in this book, she compiled from 13 trance channeling sessions in 1991 and 1992 with what she called Palladian entities. Again, demons, fallen angels. She called them extraterrestrials from the star system, Pleiades. Okay, whatever. But again, they're impersonating aliens, and not aliens even exist. But again, that's how they're taking on that form. So after describing current and future calamities, she encouraged the reader in her book to recognize that the earth changes are here and will accelerate until the great shift occurs. There's a great shift. Maybe that's the great reset that they're referring to. But anyway, there's going to be some great shift, right? And she says, some of you want to pretend that the earth changes are not occurring. However, they are occurring, and there is nothing to fear, for they are part of the process of the great shift. The great shift, again, will be when the rapture happens, right? So she goes on and says, whether you stay on the planet and alter your vibration, because that's the only way you're going to stay on the planet, is alter your vibration, get in harmony, not with Mother Earth, but with Satan, really, okay? Or you check out and sit on the bleachers to watch the show, she says, doesn't really matter. On some level, in some avenue of existence, you will participate and you will learn. I won't. I learn from Jesus. I don't learn from you, New Agers. I don't learn from demons and fallen angels. No, I learn from God. I'm not going to learn their nonsense. But anyway, that's what she says in her book. And then you have another New Age channeler by the name of Earlene Chaney. And in her book, Revelations of the Things to Come, she receives telepathic messages from an extraterrestrial entity named Kutami. Again, another demon, fallen angel, whatever. Regarding the coming earth changes, she says, this entity states, quote, that Mother Deva, Mother Earth, realizes that her matter must be purified. Her Akashic ethers must be cleansed of the dark forces. And so I guess we're the dark forces, right? I don't even know what Akashic ethers are. Whatever. Anyway, in Barbara Marciniak's book, Bringers of the Dawn, Teachings from the Palladians, she returns to the theme of the coming shift and its association with the evacuation. Again, the evacuation is their term for the rapture, okay? She writes this, we are here. We are the Palladians, a collective of energy. Palladian entities, we are told, were some of the original planners of Earth who seeded Earth with their DNA. And this DNA became part of the DNA of the human species. Oh, you see it. A denial of the Creator and that these fallen angels are the ones who created humans and that humans have their DNA. Well, to some extent, the fallen angels created Nephilim and did have part of their DNA in them. And that's where we get demons from. But anyway, isn't it funny that they say, no, we are the creators. Now, that's funny. Even in alien abductions, the aliens tell the abductee that they're the ones that created them. Again, it's total a denial of the creation of God and saying that the fallen angels created humans. Ridiculous, but again, it is expected. But that's what the narrative is telling people. It's not God that created you, it's these aliens that did. So according to these demons or fallen angels that they call themselves the Pleiadian entities, they say they have come from our future. They're from our future. And they're going to plant a seed to affect change that will affect our future, our present, and our past. And so this seed is the knowledge that they bring. Knowledge. It sounds like Gnosticism, right? Sounds like the New Age. It sounds like every occultic practice of getting secret knowledge from the occult, from the spirit creatures, okay? And this new knowledge that they're going to seed us with will help us to understand things and take a major leap in our humanity, in our spiritual evolution, apparently, okay? And again, they continue to say that their motherships are surrounding this planet, and are acting as literal transducers of energy. Again, I don't know what that means, but again, the idea is that the spaceships are around the planet and they're cloaked right now. That's why no one sees them, but they're there and they're transducers of energy. Okay. So the interesting thing that these entities teach, and as far as theology is concerned, they teach that they're the creators, but that they have come to help humans realize their connectedness with the universe and the universal truth, now get this, that God is in all and that we all possess an inherent deity and that we will, if we attain the highest possible vibration, evolve into ascended masters. Notice, it's the same lie from the garden. You will be like God. That's the same lie, right? That God is in all and there's a spark of divinity in you. That is a lie. That is pantheism, and it's the same light comes from the Garden of Eden. That you can be an ascended master like we are and that we become gods. And so that's, again, oldest trick in the book. And you know what? People buy it. So anyway, according to these Pleiadian entities, Earth is also reaching a higher frequency. However, there are individuals like you and me who are polluting the earth and whose thought patterns are out of sync with the universal consciousness or force, who do not go along with the plan. That's you and me. And they are going to be removed to bring about the higher frequency that Earth Mother desires. Oh, okay. And this theme is abundant in all of their writings, okay, as Missler and Eastman note. So in the book Bringers of the Dawn, Barbara Marciniak stated, quote, if human beings do not change, if they do not make the shift in values and realize that without Earth, they cannot be here, then Earth, in its love for its own initiation, is reaching for a higher frequency and will bring about a cleansing that will balance it once again. Again, she goes on and she says, there is a potential for many people to leave the planet in an afternoon. Oh, okay. The people who leave the planet in an afternoon, according to the Pleiadians, no longer fit in and are keeping Earth from evolving to the next plane. Quote, the people who leave the planet during the time of Earth changes do not fit here any longer, and they are stopping the harmony of Earth. That's the narrative. When the time comes, perhaps 20 million people, they say, will leave the planet at one time. And there will be a tremendous shift in consciousness for those who are remaining. Where will they go, it says? Well, according to the New Ager author Timothy Green Beckley, the extraterrestrials tell him, quote, those who refuse to be enlightened and infused with the light of God will be taken to other planets that are uninhabited, but habitable. Oh, okay. And there they will make a new start. Oh, okay. And again, notice what they say. How many will go? 20 million, maybe. And according to Johanna Michelson, a spirit guide predicted through her necromancy that 2 billion people will be removed simultaneously during the coming cleansing. Interesting. Why, I wonder why they picked that figure. It's not in the thousands, it's in the millions, okay? So yeah, if you do the stats around the world, you'd probably be somewhere in that neighborhood of real believers being taken. Yeah. We'll see. Again, we don't know, but they're taking a very good educated guess. That's all that is an educated guess. We don't know how many will be taken. All we know is this, that every believer will be taken. Every true believer will be taken in that rapture, along with the dead in Christ first, and we who are alive and remain will be taken. Okay, so we don't know necessarily the number, but it's funny how they're making a prediction like that, because it's going to be catastrophic, okay? There's going to be millions of people gone. Children will be gone. Babies will be gone, right? All that. So it's a lot of people. Anyway, Missler and Eastman note that this conditioning has been going on for some time. I would agree. It's been going on since 1948, really, of getting people conditioned for the fixation on UFOs, extraterrestrials, all the movies they have made, Star Trek, Star Wars, all the, you know, Independence Day, whatever. All of these things have geared people up for it and has conditioned people to accept it. Do you notice that, interesting enough, that right now, when the Pentagon and the U.S. Navy come out with video saying, we don't know what these are, but here it is, and here's the footage, that they have no problem covering that up. Now, why are they doing that? I think it's to condition people for it, to condition people to accept that there are space brothers out there and aliens out there, and we just don't know what they are. But really what it is, what they're catching on radar, is fallen angels and demons. That's what they're catching on radar. That's what's happening. But they're not going to say that. They even go so far to say that these things they see in the sky, these UFOs or whatever, UAPs, can appear off radar, can go at speeds and turn at breakneck speeds at a right angle. And they seem to be interdimensional, they say. Because if they were physical, they said the laws of the universe would kill them when they made, you know, going at, you know, whatever, 25,000 miles an hour, and then making a 90-degree turn on a dime, that would kill any creature, right? Extraterrestrial or human. It would kill people by the amount of G's. But these things have the ability to go that fast and then turn on a dime, or stop and go back and forth, whatever, and up and down. That's not a physical creature. So at least they admit that it's an interdimensional creature. We would say, no, that's an interdimensional creature called a fallen angel or a demon. That's what's going on. But anyway, they believe that, oh, they have, you know, these are benevolent entities. They always say they're benevolent entities, right? That want to help us. They have vastly superior technology. It's not technology that they have. They are shapeshifters. They can turn into a thing that looks like a spaceship. They can turn into the new thing is a Tic Tac. In the 1800s, when people saw extraterrestrials, they came in blimps and hot air balloons. Seriously, man. They change to whatever the culture will accept. So they're shapeshifters. They can make themselves look like anything. They have that ability, and because they're interdimensional. And so people are being conditioned for this. And I think Missler and Eastman are right. People are primed for this. And according to Tuella, who's one of these new agers that's channeling demons, in her Project World evaluation, she says this, quote, there is a method and great organization and a detailed plan already near completion for the purpose of removing souls from this planet. In the event of a catastrophic event making a rescue necessary, the great evacuation will come upon the world very suddenly. The flash of an emergency events will be as lightning that flashes in the sky. I wonder where they got that term from. I think I've heard it somewhere, right? So sudden and so quick in its happening that it's over almost before you are aware of its presence. Oh, kind of like the twinkling of the eye that you guys mentioned before, right? She goes, our rescue ships will be able to come in close enough in the twinkling of an eye. There it is. To set the lifting beams in operation in a moment. And all over the globe where events warrant it, this will be the method of evacuation. And again, it's unbelievable. They're having a counter narrative to the rapture. It's unbelievable. All of it is their narrative. Now here's the interesting thing. They have a phase one and phase two of this. Now this is interesting because the rapture has phase one and phase two. It says the dead in Christ will be raised first, right? And then we who are alive and remain, that's phase two. Now, it's almost instantaneously, but there is an order in the rapture. Dead in Christ first, and then those who are alive are taken. So it's a two-phase event in the rapture. Here, this is interesting. In their narrative, there are two phases. Check this out. Phase one, they say that the great exodus of souls from the planet will take place at a moment's notice when it is determined that the inhabitants are in danger and Mother Earth's in danger, basically. So the first ones are the go. They don't talk about the dead in Christ, okay? They're not going to, because that didn't make sense. That's not part of their narrative, right? So why isn't it part of their narrative? Because the people are dead. And so Mother Earth is only concerned with those who are living that are holding her back. The dead are not holding anyone back. So I find it convenient that they just kind of slip that one under the rug and don't even talk about the dead in Christ rising. But all over the world, the graves will be opened and the bodies of those who are in Christ will be resurrected from whether you're in the earth or in the sea or wherever. God will resurrect those believers in Christ. Anyway, they conveniently let that one slip and bury that under the carpet. But they do have phase one. So the phase one is humans. Now check this one out. Phase two. The second phase immediately follows the first, they say. The second phase is vital, as they say, as we return for children of all ages and races. Did you catch that? The child does not have the power of choice in understanding nor personal accountability. This two-phase is fascinating, right, when you think about it. They include the children, which is going to be a big problem all over the world in the rapture, as you know, that children and babies will be raptured in that who haven't reached the age of accountability, and they're going to be taken. And notice what they say. They say that these children from all ages and all races will be taken all over the planet. It's true that children will be taken of all ages and races all over the planet, especially those who haven't reached the age of accountability. And so it goes in line with what we even say, but they have a counter narrative to it, that they're even going to take the children. So again, all of our understanding of the rapture comes from scripture, but it's very interesting when you see the enemies of God have an excuse of where the children go and where we go, right? Isn't it interesting? They have a narrative for that. They don't have a narrative for the dead in Christ, but they do have a narrative for the children, which I think will be a major issue when that happens, because it'll be all over the globe, right? It just won't be just Christians. It'll be children and babies of Hindus and Muslims and other religions that have not reached the age of accountability, and their babies are going to disappear. Their children before the age of accountability will be disappeared and taken. Again, isn't it interesting? Very, very interesting that they have a narrative for the children and babies. And so what is the message that they're going to have to those who have been left behind, especially those whose children have been taken? This is what they say. The people who have been taken have completed that which they came to do. It is a time of great rejoicing for them. Do not feel sad about their leaving. They are going home. In one sense, that's true. We went home. And they shouldn't be sad for us, as it's true. They should be sad for themselves because they're going to go through the tribulation. They've been left behind. So it's just interesting how it's worded like that, right? And anyway, a message echoed by one of these demons or fallen angels, Ashtar, in the book or pamphlet called Project World Evacuation. Quote, this demon or fallen angel says this: "Do not be concerned nor unduly upset if you do not participate in this first temporary lifting of souls who serve with us. This merely means that your action in the plan is elsewhere, and you will be taken for your instructions or will receive them in some other manner. Do not take any personal affront if you are not alerted or are not a participant in the first phase of our plan." Trying to comfort those who have been left behind. Wow. Your time will come later, and these instructions are not necessarily for you at this time. So it's okay, they say. So what happens to all the light workers who are left behind? Well, according to Timothy Green Beckley, the extraterrestrials have given them some additional insight on their predicament. Of the light workers who are left behind, many of the New Age workers and instructors who feel that they will be taken will not be taken right away, but left behind to help mankind survive. And through the cataclysmic period, they'll help them. This is their mission. Okay? So don't worry that you're getting it taken. Your mission is to teach what happened, right? Give more of the false narrative. So check this out. The New Age workers are supposed to rejoice when they find out that millions of people have disappeared, including members of their own family, including children and babies, and they've been abducted by aliens, and they are left behind to help mankind survive through the cataclysmic period called, guess what? The tribulation. Wow. Absolutely amazing. So what are the takeaways from this? Well, obviously, this is a counter-narrative to the rapture. And it's another argument for the rapture, okay? It's not the strongest one, but the strongest ones come from Scripture about the rapture, and that the rapture is different than the second coming, obviously. And so we make our arguments from Scripture, and you go down the line, you know, you can talk about the early church fathers believing in a rapture, a pre-tribulational scenario, right, of the Lord coming. And we have that from the early church fathers. We have the suppression of premillennialism by the Catholic Church and Augustine and through the Protestant Reformation. So you make historical arguments. Look, the rapture and dispensationalism didn't start with John Darby. That is an absolute lie. That is a straw man argument that comes from Reformed theology. That's not true. Premillennialism was taught way, way early with the early church fathers. But let's keep going down the list. So in our argumentation, isn't it interesting that if you get to the bottom of it, what do our enemies say? What do God's enemies say? Well, here's what they say. They attack the rapture and they call it something else, the great evacuation. Now, again, that's not our strongest argument for the rapture. Obviously, our strongest argument is Scripture, but it is interesting that what Satan attacks, he always attacks that which is true. He doesn't attack which is false because he's the one who made the false teaching. So a kingdom is not divided. So if you want to know what is true sometimes, look at what Satan attacks. So what does he attack? He attacks the rapture. And so what he does is he's not going to be able to deny it. It's going to happen. But what he's come up with is a counter narrative to it. Isn't that interesting? And the other takeaway is this, that means we're getting very close, right? We're getting very close. We see all the convergence of factors that are happening prophetically, and we're getting very close. We don't know the day or the hour of the rapture, which is, that's a borrowed language from the Feast of Trumpets. But because the Feast of Trumpets, you would have to figure out when the moon appeared, and it would appear sometimes on day one or day two. And so people didn't know the time or the hour when the moon would appear. That's where that phrase comes from when Jesus uses it in the Olivet Discourse. But the Apostle Paul says, you are children of light and you do know the season. We do know the season. So we're in that season. And we all know that we're in the last days. We don't know how long it goes, but we're in the last days. And expect the rapture at any point in time. Okay, so this is interesting. Since I referenced the Feast of Trumpets, let me help in interpretation of 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 52. So Paul the Apostle reveals a mystery. Okay, the mystery is the rapture. The rapture was a mystery in the Old Testament. So when you see the word mystery, there are eight mysteries, I think, eight good mysteries, and then there's two satanic mysteries. Okay, the eight mysteries is basically this, that it's a mystery because it wasn't revealed in the Old Testament, and now it's being revealed in the New Testament, okay? So the church was a mystery, the rapture is a mystery, and then you have two satanic mysteries, the mystery of lawlessness, and then you have the mystery Babylon, that Babylon would be supported by the Roman Empire in the end, by the global government, basically. So those are two satanic mysteries, and there's eight New Testament mysteries. And so Paul tells us, he goes, in verse 51, he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. This is what he's saying, is it wasn't revealed in the Old Testament, but I'm revealing to you now. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. Now, notice they use the word twinkling of an eye in their narrative, right? And they use the word moment. They use those two phrases. Interesting, isn't it? But anyway, what's this last trumpet? Now, let's clarify this, because a lot of people then will attach this last trumpet to one of the trumpets in the book of Revelation. And that's you can't do that. The last trumpet is a Jewish idiom, and it comes directly out of the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, right? The first of the year. So anyway, the last trumpet is a particular blowing of the trumpet. It's the 100th blowing of the trumpet blasts during the Feast of Trumpets. And the last trumpet is a clear reference to the 100th trumpet blast at the Feast of Trumpets. And anyway, that 100th trump is the last trump. That's what Paul was trying to associate it with. It's associated to the Feast of Trumpets. And if you study the Feast of Trumpets, there are four different blasts of the trumpet. There's the tekiah, which is a long single blast. It was straight, plain, smooth, continuous note. And it is to symbolize the expression of joy and contentment. Then there's the shevarim, and it's three short blasts, a combination of three broken notes to symbolize weeping. And then there's the truah, which is an extremely short blast, which are a combination of nine staccato notes in a very quick succession of a short trill. And again, that's supposed to symbolize trepidation, sorrow, and sobbing, okay? Then there's the last trumpet blast, the tekiah gedola. And that means the last trump. This is the one that symbolizes the hope of redemption. And it is a very long blast, and it is a final note. And I want you to hear it, because it sounds like this at the Feast of Trumpets. So you can hear that sound. That's the sound you will hear. It's the last trumpet of the Feast of Trumpets. It's not associated to any trumpets in the tribulation. Those trumpets in the tribulation are for judgment. This trumpet is the hope of redemption from the Feast of Trumpets. And Paul notes it too. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible. That trumpet, the last trumpet, you will hear a tekiah gedola sounding from heaven when the rapture occurs. And again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you start in verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God," the tekiah degola, will be shouted. So it's in all the rapture passages, except John 14, includes the last trumpet or the tekiah degola. And so it's very interesting, and I think I needed to make that point, because a lot of people get confused. Is that one of the trumpets in Revelation? It's not. It's not. Anyway, the good news is we're in the season for the rapture. We've been in that season for a very long, long time. And anyway, it will remove all of God's true believers of the church, and before he pours his wrath out on this world. And it's not an alien evacuation of people who polluted the world and are preventing Mother Earth from reaching her fourth or fifth dimension. No, that's their counterfeit narrative. So, with that being said, they had to come up with a lie, didn't they? They had to come up with an excuse. Interesting enough, and I'll leave you with this thought. If this is the excuse they use, then the whole tribulation might be explained by alien invasion. That instead of supernatural things happening on this earth as a judgment of God, is that, you know, these aliens are trying to help us, and Mother Earth is doing all of this to purge humanity off the planet, and she's reeling, causing the waters to turn into blood and all this other stuff. And so the space aliens are here to help us, and they're going to help us through the Antichrist because he's in touch with them and he's their main guy, and they're going to try to get this planet in order under the Antichrist with the space buddies that's going to help them. Interesting theory, but it's not a far cry if you see what they're already saying, isn't it?